Version 2 here on a Monday night. If you heard us earlier, we said we'd have an update for you on the basketball front. We certainly will update you on the standings, tell you the players of the week in both men's and women's basketball. Also, some pretty big news on the football front as Cincinnati loses its defensive coordinator and longtime friend of head coach Luke Fickell, Marcus Freeman. News came down on Friday night that he will be taking the same job at Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman, who played at Ohio State when Fickell was the linebackers coach there, had a big part to do in Cincinnati's defense turning things around. And, oh, by the way, they're very close personal friends. They both have 6 kids. Their families all hang out. So that is the ultimate tough decision. But Marcus Freeman makes it for Cincinnati. Now on to the basketball court. And on the women's side, a team that we're starting to notice a little bit more, Temple, absolutely deserves notice after they now are alone in second place. Of course, the Bulls are 6-0 in the conference. Temple now sits at 4-0 after winning the battle of 3-0 teams, beating UCF. This was Saturday afternoon. I was actually watching this while I was getting ready for our game that night against Houston. UCF had a 12-7 lead after the first quarter of play, and it was a close one throughout. Basically, Temple took the lead 26-24 at the half, and then they scored the first 6 points of the second half. However, UCF would go on a 7-0 run. They got to within 1, would have taken the lead, but missed a couple of free throws. And then the Owls defense held UCF to just 1 field goal in the last 6 minutes of the third, and Temple had command of this one, 47-40. The Owls had command until they didn't, because UCF made a run, scored 18 of its points in the fourth quarter. Nearing the midway point, Cortesia Sanders had a 3-point play, then a layup by their big post, Masani Kaba, and it was 52-49. Temple answered with a layup of its own, and eventually it was a late-night push. They would get it to within 2 with 90 seconds to go. Temple split a pair at the free throw line. Brittany Smith scores for the Knights with less than a minute to go. It's 57-56. Temple tries a 3-pointer, misses it, and so UCF had the ball with a chance for the lead. But Alicia Lewis, one of their transfers, had a decent look in the paint, could not hit it. Temple gets the rebound. UCF has to foul, of course, 21 seconds left. And Asana Alexander, 2 clutch free throws. UCF still had a chance, but turned the ball over. Clinton, the outstanding freshman with the steal, and Temple put it away with a couple of free throws to win this game. Knights were 5-1. They fall to 5-2. And now Temple is 4-3 on the season. Both teams committed 20 fouls in this game, and you had 5 players with at least 4 fouls between the two sides. UCF only attempted 8 3-point shots, making just 2. Free throw shooting really hurt them. When you lose a close game like that, 14 for 26 is going to get you. They were led by Smith, 17 points and 9 rebounds. On the other side, Davis, 19 points and 6 boards. I mentioned Clinton, 17 points. She did turn it over 7 times. UCF can get you that way. Again, if you're a freshman playing them for the first time, kind of makes sense that she committed 7 of their 19 turnovers. But again, free throw shooting, Knights hit a poor percentage, while the Owls were 17 for 23 playing on their home floor, and that was likely the difference. So UCF still in third place alone, with 2 teams at 3-2, a half game behind, those being East Carolina and Tulane, which is the next Bulls opponent. We'll talk a lot more about them on Wednesday's Bulls Beat, but they are looking good, 7-3 for the season after going to Cincinnati and winning the game 68-49. Again, we'll give you more details on what they did offensively and who their top players are. And you know she had a good week, Crystal Freeman, when she gets player of the week in the conference as opposed to a Bull. More on that in just a little bit. But in this game, the thing that absolutely stood out was the defense. Tulane held Imari Thomas to just 3 for 16 shooting the ball. And 9 points. That is national news, because she had a low for the season of 23 points and was averaging 27 for the season. And as far as the field goal percentage goes, 3 for 16. She, again, is a 59% career and season field goal percentage shooter. So, that can only concern you if you're the Bulls, because Imari Thomas is a player that makes her living inside. And and miss that many shots. I'll watch some more footage of that game and have more of a scouting report for you on Wednesday as we get set for the Bulls taking on that Tulane team. And I said Crystal Freeman had a solid week. For a Bull not to get Player of the Week in the conference, you knew it had to be solid. She had 20 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 steals at Houston in a big win. And then in that win against Cincinnati, she again led the way. 18 points, 6 rebounds. Freeman is 4th in the conference, rebounding nearly 9 per game. So she is the Player of the Week. The Freshman of the Week, Yvette Mayberry. She averaged 17.5 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and 4 steals in 2 games, and both, by the way, wins for the Golden Hurricane. They are just 2-3 in the conference, 3-3 overall, but to win those two last week, pretty big. And we highlighted the Mayberry sisters. Of course, Yvette is the freshman. Her sister Maya was the transfer. Maya had 28 points in the win on Saturday against Memphis, 72-68, while Yvette had the 15 points with the 7 assists and the 6 steals. So Tulsa kind of had control of this game. Memphis got into it late, but the Golden Hurricane again hang on for the win. Memphis falls to 0-4 in the league, 2-7 overall. Got to mention Memphis's Ty Jones. She played the entire game, had 19 points and 8 rebounds in that one. But again, a tough defeat for the Tigers. So those were the 3 games over the weekend. East Carolina and Wichita were supposed to play, but of course Wichita's had to pause all of its basketball activities right now. The Pirates are in 5th place at 3-2. Everybody else is below 500. Still very early on in conference play. Wednesday is another pretty full day as we will have 4 games, including ours, at Tulane, and we'll recap those for you on Friday's version of Around the American. Along with the Player and Freshman of the Week, the Honor Roll has 5 other members to it. Elena Chnecki of USF, Mayberry of Tulsa, both Davis and Clinton of Temple, and Memphis's Madison Griggs, who had 4 three-pointers in that game against Tulsa. Just a few other games on the men's side, really, since we last left you on Friday's Around the American version. Saturday saw Houston, the next Bulls opponent, take down Tulane by the score of 71-50. And with Marcus Sasser scoring 20 of his career-high 28 points in that one, he was 6 of 7 on threes. That is going to land you Conference Player of the Week honors, as it did on Monday. And again, things thinning out because of teams dealing with COVID. There was just one other game on the weekend besides the Bulls, so 3 in total. Wichita State defeats Cincinnati 82-76. Boy, Cincinnati has had a bunch of close games, but as far as the conference goes, they have lost 4 of 5 of them. They're 1-4, next to last in the league. 82-76 was this final. Wichita State had to put up 52 points in the second half, and freshman Ricky Council IV, 23 points, and sure enough, he was the Freshman of the Week. That's a 6-game losing streak that Wichita snapped against the Bearcats. Rest of the honor roll included Tremont Robinson-White, who had those 29 points, a career high for East Carolina against the Bulls. Zach Harvey, sophomore guard for Cincinnati, as they went 1-1, had 19 points in the game against Wichita, and added 13 in their win against SMU, whose Kendrick Davis set a conference record with 14 assists in last Monday's loss to Cincinnati. Get you on the honor roll. Brandon Rashal, for being the star player despite having that foul trouble against the Bulls, that got him on the honor roll. And Wichita State's Tyson Etienne, he averaged 20.5 points, getting 25 of them in the loss to Houston. He certainly has been outstanding, their sophomore guard. And as we promised on the earlier version of Around the American, we'd have an update for a Monday afternoon game. Remember, this one got pushed back a day, and indeed SMU gets the home win against Temple, 79-67, the final score. Got to feel a little sorry for the Owls. They are just 1-3 overall. You look at the Bulls having played 12 games, and of course Temple had all the issues at the beginning of the season. Teams shot similar percentages, but what happened in this case was SMU had a plus 12 on the rebounding edge and a plus 6 on the offensive glass, and that's really what added to the extra opportunities. Kendrick Davis, we just mentioned him, had another pretty nice game. Didn't quite have 14 assists, just 7, but with 22 points, he himself was 7 of 8 at the free throw line. That's a pretty solid afternoon. Couple more SMU Mustangs pitched in with 16 points apiece. Farron Hunt couldn't hit a 3, but he was 5 for 8 on 2s, 6 for 8 on 1s, being free throws, and added 10 rebounds. And Emmanuel Bandamel also had 16 points. Again, he had 7 rebounds, 6 for 11 shooting, and he hit the 3s, 4 for 6. Damian Dunn and Brendan Barry, 17 points each for the Owls. Barry is a name worth remembering. He was the Dartmouth top player 2 years ago and was among the top 10 in the country in three-point field goal percentage. And he shot 5 for 7 in this game, but the Owls again fall to 1-3. So we can now update the standings. Houston at 5-1 in the conference, 10-1 overall. Tulsa in second place at 4-1 with a 7-3 record. Wichita State is one of those teams in NCAA at-large consideration. Got to mention, only Houston in the top 50 in the net rankings, but the chance for teams like Tulsa and Wichita to still crash in there along with SMU. But the Mustangs are actually right now technically in fifth place percentage points behind Memphis because the Tigers are 2-1, and then SMU actually jumped the Bulls with that victory. So it's USF sitting in sixth place, which is right at the midway point of the conference, UCF 1-2, East Carolina, Tulane, both 1-3, then Cincinnati and Temple, which is still seeking that first conference victory. Mentioned there were four women's games on Wednesday along with ours. UCF at East Carolina, that's a key one. Temple, can they win again hosting Cincy? And Tulsa going to Houston. On the men's side, Wednesday, East Carolina at Cincinnati, two teams trying to climb up. And then Tulsa at Wichita State. All of a sudden, that becomes a very key early season game. Three more on Thursday, including our own with USF hosting Houston, a nooner with UCF at Temple, and also a ESPN2 contest, SMU at Memphis. Then you look at the schedule on theamerican.org, and you actually see more teams posting their tennis and volleyball, including USF, schedules. In fact, it looks like SMU will get it going on Friday. We're talking about women's tennis with a double dip against Abilene Christian. I have a feeling you're going to hear from the USF side of things as far as the tennis schedule goes. And yes, USF did announce its volleyball schedule. We'll talk about it on Tuesday's Bulls Beat naturally. And I found it interesting in finally getting some clarity here, because when UCF was the first to put out its schedule, you saw that they were playing five conference teams, two apiece, and it seemed like Tulane was the one that was out of division. Well, same thing with the Bulls. They're playing Tulane twice, but now we know the clarification. It's a non-conference couple of matches, technically. Your only conference matches, in other words, the ones that count for your record in American play, are going to be against your division. So even though the American hasn't come out and announced it, we can pretty much figure it out that everyone in the East is going to play the other four teams twice each. Those eight matches are your conference schedule. And then everyone in the West is going to play the other five teams twice each. And of course, that being your conference schedule, there is one West division as we're recording this team that has put out its volleyball schedule, and that's SMU. And sure enough, just like I said, they'll play Houston twice, Wichita twice, Tulane twice, Tulsa twice, and Memphis twice. There's your divisional matchups. And again, everything's going to be same two teams playing in the same city on back-to-back days, whether it be Thursday, Friday, or Friday, Saturday. And obviously, the plan for the conference is to have the top two teams from each division at the end of it all, at the end of the shortened season, play in the semifinals, guessing that it'll be East winner against West runner-up and vice versa. It's going to be a lot shorter. You're not going to have the multi-team events, which lead to longer, of course, schedules. You just can't. You can't expect four teams like would normally be in such an event to all travel to one city. Well, three teams travel, one host in this time. It's just not feasible. But hey, something is better than nothing, and volleyball, it appears, is going to begin next weekend. That's going to do it for Around the American. Thank you for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.